The Guest House by Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
So before I ask you the question, how is it with your heart, we have to first find out, becoming quiet and present. So for this meditation period, I'm going to invite you once again to get in that settled, comfortable, quiet place. Close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. And we're just going to allow any thoughts and distractions to go, any tension in your physical body to soften. And I'm going to share with you the meditation practice that I have been using lately that very quickly now gets me centered. The first step of it is grounding, or as I have recently heard it called, earthing. So it's a remembering that we're not separate from earth. We come out of earth like a leaf comes out of a tree, and we return to her just like all living things eventually do. And so for this earthing or grounding, you might imagine a cord of life energy that reaches down from the seat of your body deep into the core of the earth. And imagine earth's energy is warm and golden, almost like honey, that is drawn up from the core of the earth into your body, just like a plant pulls moisture and nutrients from the soil. Allow images of earth to flow through your mind as you're connecting with that energy, the watery energy of the ocean and rivers and lakes, that majestic sensation of standing in a redwood grove or on top of a mountain peak. Just spend a few moments exploring those images and sensations of being connected deeply and intrinsically with earth. And then to be centered is to be balanced in your own being. So call all of the parts of your awareness that may be scattered around back into your physical body. Bring your awareness into your body, into the center of your head. Imagine that point that is just behind your eyes and right between the top of your ears, the very center of your head, and see what it feels like to try and rest your awareness right at that point. And the next step is connecting. This is how you establish a connection to that which transcends you, or your higher self, however you name that. This is an opening that often begins in your heart and then spreads out to your whole being. I sometimes think of it simply as just getting out of the way, clearing away the chatter of my thoughts and ideas so that I can sense the deeper hum of wisdom. Imagine your heart opening like a blossom. And maybe you can begin to feel, to actually sense a subtle shift, an opening, a softening in your being. This isn't something that can be forced, and it can take practice and patience. Simply intend to open and connect, and then let go and allow, knowing that each of you, we all, have a direct connection to wisdom and information. It's like an umbilical cord to the spiritual realm that nourishes us continually. And this is what I was working with when we worked with prayer. So this openness and receptivity. Let's just sit for a moment, grounded, centered, and connected. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Thank yourself for giving yourself this gift of quieting. We're going to transition into the sermon by way of singing. We're going to sing a different song than we often do right here. The music, if you want to look at it, is number 1011, but the words are printed in your order of service. We're going to sing it just twice through, very simply, no repeats, just twice through from beginning to end, and Elisa and I will help lead you.
Return again, return again, return to the home of your soul. Return to who you
So because it is my first Sunday back with you all in quite some time this summer, I thought it would be a good idea for us to take an assessment of where we are spirit-wise. So this is your first annual spiritual checkup. And like a physical exam, there are diagnostics that we're going to use to help you determine your spiritual well-being. Instead of calculating your body mass index and blood pressure and your cholesterol, we're going to be looking at your spiritual well-being using your own self-reported level of peacefulness as a measure. So you have a half sheet in your order of service that's pink. It's sort of an intake form, if you will. I'll invite you to fill it out a little bit later. And I would appreciate it if you would turn them in to me on your way out so that I can get an overall picture of our collective spiritual well-being. You'll see on the bottom of the form, there's a place where you can put your name, and that's optional. Including your name will help me get to know you a little bit better, but you don't need to. So peace is the natural and automatic result of spiritual health. In fact, it's our natural state. And we each may experience that state slightly differently. It may show up for you as a sense of peacefulness or harmony, connection, belonging, purpose, balance, fulfillment, equanimity, or joy. It's what happens when your mind is relaxed and open, your actions are in alignment with your own highest values, and your heart feels loving and free. Other possible signs of spiritual health and well-being are your creative juices are flowing. Your laughter comes easily and from deep in your belly. People seem to be drawn to you. Children are drawn to you. You're resilient and flexible in the face of unexpected changes. And when you look in the mirror, you see a happy person looking back at you. On the other side of the spectrum is anguish and misery and suffering. And these are the natural and automatic results of mental and emotional tension. Guilt is a constant nag that causes a slow drain of your precious energy. Shame would have you believe that you are unworthy of being in the flow of love. Judgmental thoughts pinch us closed. And remember that whenever we're judgmental of others, it always means that we are being judgmental toward ourselves as well. It's always a double-edged sword. Fear slams the doors of our being shut for protection, or so it thinks. When we think we're being attacked in some way, we raise our shields and take a defensive stance. And all of these are experiences of what I call spiritual contraction. Now, if you're going through a hard time right now, if you're grieving, for example, and you're feeling sad and depressed, I wouldn't call that spiritually unhealthy. It does mean that your tender heart is in need of some spiritual healing. And if you're someone who has experienced trauma, you not only need spiritual intensive care, but also psychological treatment and counseling. And I can talk to anybody about that after the service, if that is true for you. How do we become spiritually unwell? And what does healing look like? And how do we go about improving our spiritual wellness? In much the same way that cholesterol builds up on the inside of your arteries, constricting the flow of life-sustaining blood to your vital organs, your spiritual arteries, if you will, can become clogged and constricted by negative thoughts and emotions, choking off your experience of connection with your own eternal nature, with the love that is all around you and within you, and harmony with the world. Spiritual healing happens when those arteries or circuits are cleared and opened, the constriction is released, and love and life force energy begin to flow once again unimpeded through your being. The first step is to notice when the contraction is happening. Then you identify what it is that is constricting that flow of that love life energy in your being. What issues or relationships or situations or thought patterns tend to cause that tightness and contraction? Then you work to correct those patterns by replacing them with new practices that return you to wholeness. So beginning to notice when the contraction is happening takes mindfulness, which is why I spent a lot of time this morning just getting us mindful, our awareness in our beings. I've begun to notice that when I'm upset, if I'm angry or jealous or feeling threatened or unsafe in some way, my heart feels contracted. It's almost a physical sensation that it's like tightness in my chest, goes all the way down to my solar plexus, sometimes it's all the way up in my throat. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah. And while it's happening in my body, I've started to pay attention and notice that my mind is running a little ticker tape of thoughts that confirm the rightness of my feeling angry, or put out, or excluded, or whatever it is that my ego has concocted. And while I'm in that state, it doesn't matter how much love or care is being directed at me, I can't feel it. I used to think that I couldn't feel it because the person who was trying to love me wasn't really loving me, or they weren't doing it hard enough, or they weren't doing it the right way. And it was confusing because they were telling me they were loving me, and I became distrustful. Why can't I feel it? But a few weeks ago, I had an experience that confirmed for me that I myself am the cause of my own experience of contraction and lack of love. I noticed a correlation between my negative thoughts and the sensation of that clenching in my heart. It feels like the tightness that my fear thoughts create is actually constricting the experience of openness and love in my being. It's my own mind that is choking out the flow of God energy and making me feel separate and alone. But there's good news, because when I realized that it was my thoughts that were creating my experience of not being in the flow of love, I realized that there's a way out. By changing my interpretations, I can change my experience. Instead of impulsively running the same repetitive negative thought patterns, I can interrupt that and instead choose differently. One way out is gratitude. Another way out is forgiveness. I'm going to be talking about those themes and others throughout the year. They each deserve their own time. Right now, what I just want you to understand is that there is a way out. It is in your control. There's a way towards spiritual freedom and peacefulness. You hold the key to your own freedom. And this fellowship is a place where you can learn and practice the new spiritual skills that will lead you there. So take out that pink sheet again. If you need a writing implement, the ushers are prepared with extra pencils and pens. Let them know that you need one. I'm going to offer some time right now in the service for you to do a little inventory, a little quiet meditation, because I want you to identify the sources of contraction in your own being, to identify the healthy practices you're already doing, and to think about things that you might consider doing. So I'm going to let us just have 4 or 5 minutes of quiet for you to work with this. Katie's going to play a little music, and then I will call us back. So if you're not quite done, you can finish up during the recessional music that we'll have at the end of the service. What I'd like to invite you to do with these papers is fold them up some way, and when you hand your hymnal back to one of the ushers on the way out, they'll also have a place to put these, or you can hand it to me in the receiving line if you'd like to do that. You don't have to put your name on it, but like I said, it could be helpful. And thank you for participating in that. If you want to just take it as your own personal exercise and not include it here, that's also fine. It's your prerogative. So friends, in this coming year, given what's happening in the wider world, I think it is especially important that we focus some energy on our third Unitarian Universalist principle, which is the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. We're going to need resiliency. We already have experienced a lot of impact from the political climate, and we're going to need to shore up those things. That's not even to say all of the individual struggles that many of us are facing. So encouragement to spiritual growth is going to be one of our focuses this coming year, because by doing so, we can come together and push a little harder against the systems of injustice and help build a more just and compassionate world. So I am so glad we're all together. It's so nice to see so many new faces and visitors. It's wonderful to have your energy here among us this morning. I am grateful to be serving as your minister, beginning this fourth year together with you. Thank you. I love you. I love you all very much. So amen and blessed be. Let's sing our closing hymn together. It's number 1007. There's a river flowing in my soul.